Sermon on the Mount is the King's inaugural address. Jesus is introducing his kingdom, the kingdom of God. And as he does, he presents this inaugural address where he shows us what life in that kingdom looks like. And we've reached a point in that picture of the kingdom where he says, "You have heard it said this, but I say to you that." He demonstrates his authority by doing that, by the way. He says, "Those that you've always looked to for authority have said this, but I say something different." He is demonstrating his authority as the king. But not only is he demonstrating his authority, he is teaching truth. Because each time he does that, he says, "You've heard the law interpreted this way, but I want you to understand it in a deeper, more meaningful way, and I want you to know this over here." All right? And what we found last time we looked at the first four instances of that where he says, "You've heard this, but I say that." Last week we looked at the first four of those, and what we noticed was that he is calling kingdom citizens to matters of the heart. In other words, he's calling us to understand the spirit of the law and not just like robots go through the actions of the law. He's calling us to understand what's happening within us. The Sermon on the Mount, the life in the kingdom, takes place within more than it does in our outward activities or the things that we let people see. In other words, it's a whole lot more important that you be who he's calling you to be than it is that you do what people expect you to do. The Sermon on the Mount, or life in the kingdom, is about being the person that God called you to be. Well, this morning I want us to look at that fifth instance of "You've heard it this way, but I say to you." I want us to look at the fifth one. You can find it in Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 38. And I want us to think this morning about reaction or response. What's the difference there? Those two words seem synonymous. It seems like they're saying the same thing, but they're not really, are they? Reaction or response? Reaction, I just react emotionally. No thought goes into it. I'm just going to react based on the circumstances, the situation. Response is, I'm going to think about what I need to do and then take action. I'm going to slow down long enough to make a decision. There's an important distinction between reaction or response. And as Jesus is calling us to more of an internal reality, he's calling us to understand who he is and who he's making us to be within, then it makes sense he would call us to respond instead of just react. React is based on actions, external. Response is based on an internal decision to act. Well, let's look at it together. Matthew 5, beginning at verse 38. "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist him who is evil, but whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. And whoever shall force you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you." He's calling us to the appropriate response instead of the natural reaction. We react out of emotion. We respond out of decision. We react from the heart. We respond from the mind. Jesus calls us to live above that knee-jerk reaction When somebody hits you, what do? You hit them back. He calls us to live above that knee-jerk reaction, to give thought to it, to respond appropriately. He calls us to go beyond a life that is driven by emotion and instead live a life that is defined by truth. Toward that end, let me say something very quickly. Matter of fact, why don't you help me say this? Repeat this after me. Life is not fair. How many of you heard that before? How many of you lived that already? Life is not fair. You are going to be a whole lot happier when you stop expecting fair. Life is not fair. So when someone comes to you and insults you, the fair thing is insult them back. Level the playing field. You get me, I'm going to get you. And then we're both got and we're fair. Jesus calls us to live above the knee-jerk reaction because he knows already life is not going to be fair, and the reactions never bring fairness. We think they will, but they never do. I was intrigued as I read about a court in Kuwait that has sentenced a man to 10 years in prison. It's a court in Kuwait. Sentenced a man to 10 years in prison. What was his crime? He tweeted. He got on Twitter and he posted something that insulted Islam. And for insulting Islam, he gets 10 years in prison. The maximum sentence for his alleged crime. Just last April, an Egyptian court sentenced a 17-year-old Christian boy to 3 years in jail for publishing Facebook cartoons that mocked Islam and Muhammad. That very same month, Islamic extremists in India attacked a Christian prayer meeting where they beat up a 65-year-old widow and some other women. And then you think, well, that's over yonder. You come home. You turn on the TV. You find ABC. And a show that has now been canceled, which is good news. A show that was called GCB. We won't even talk about what those letters stand for. GCB makes headlines because of the way it depicts Christians as hypocritical, manipulative, and judgmental, making fun of Christians. And the reason I bring all that up is to say, what would happen if ABC made a television show that depicted Islam in a bad light? Can you imagine the furor? But when they make a television show that makes Christians look bad, oh, that's good stuff. You see, the way Christians respond and the way others respond is totally different. The courts that we talked about in Kuwait and Egypt say, if you insult me, I'm going to react harshly against you. Christians are insulted regularly. And we are expected by our King to respond more appropriately. We're not going to put anybody in jail for that ABC TV show that made us look bad. Jesus teaches us to respond differently than the rest of the world. And so in order to help us get that, in order to help us get the difference between reaction, which is external, and response, which is internal, he gives us four examples, four illustrations, if you will, right out of everyday life. He says, let's look at these four examples to help you understand the importance of responding instead of reacting. And the first, he says, you've heard it said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, but I say to you, do not resist him who is evil. Whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn him the other also. Well, first, let me say to you that the folks in his day had misunderstood, or at least had misinterpreted, that Old Testament statement to begin with. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. You and I have always heard what that means is if you take my eye, I get your eye. You take my tooth, I get your tooth. That's fair. But you know why that statement was really made in the Old Testament? It was really made to limit retaliation. If somebody only got your eye, you can only take their eye and not both eyes. Somebody got your tooth, you can only take their tooth. You can't overreact and knock out their whole mouthful. It actually was a limitation to bring some fairness in an unfair world. But by that time, by Jesus' time, it had been taken kind of out of context and twisted. And now it wasn't about fairness, limiting reaction toward a goal of fairness. Now it was saying, if they get you, you get them back. And so Jesus said, I know that's what you've heard, but that's not really what this is all about. That's not really what the law was saying, and it's certainly not the way I want kingdom citizens to live. And so he says, for example, when someone slaps you on the cheek, turn the other cheek. That slap in the face, that's just another phrase or another idea of an insult. To slap someone in the face is an insult. And he says, when you're insulted, don't look for fairness. Respond appropriately. Hey, Eddie, would you help me out? Would you come here? I'm sorry, I had to wake him up and everything. I know, they know that too. They know that too. Come here. Right there. Slap me.
Like, seriously?
Slap me.
All right,
you slapped my left cheek. I want you to slap my right cheek. All right. Yeah, kind of. All right, you slap my right cheek with your right hand. You got to come at me backhanded, right? When we go to slap somebody, we think just like Eddie showed us. You slap this way. You hit their left cheek. Did you notice the verse said when somebody slaps your right cheek? That's because the normal way that that would happen would be a backhand. He's right-handed. He's going to slap my right cheek when he comes at me backhanded. The backhand is the worst kind of insult. That's even worse than a normal slap. So he comes at me with a backhand on my right cheek. All right? Then it says, turn to him the other also. So now I'm going to turn my cheek to you. Now if you're still using your right hand, you have to slap me with your open palm, right? You can't backhand me again. Slap me again. There you go. There you go. All right. Thanks, Eddie. It'll be the last time, too. Someone slaps you on the right cheek. When I saw that, I thought, he hasn't been this detailed about other things. Why throw in that detail of the right cheek? The reason is, when they're going to slap your right cheek, that's a backhand. That's the worst kind of insult. It's not about the slap. It's about the insult. So when he insults you that way, what do? You turn the left cheek to him and say, "You want to insult me? I tell you what, why don't you just keep going and this time slap me like an equal, open hand. Slap me face to face. Slap me in a way that says we're equals instead of I'm lower than you." In other words, what we're going to do is respond in a way that says, if insulting me makes you feel better, you go ahead and insult me again. I'm not that worried about your insults because I know that I'm not less than you. I know that you're not more important than I am. You backhand me? That's all right. I'll turn the other cheek. I'll let you continue to insult if that really makes you feel better, because I know the truth, and your insults don't really have to affect me. It's a choice to respond instead of react. It's in our nature to strike back. But when we do that, the second hit leads to the third hit, and that leads to the fourth hit, and before you know it, you're in a full-out kill-or-be-killed feud. And that can last for years or generations. Because if you retaliate, it will escalate. If you retaliate, it will escalate. So what Jesus is doing, he's teaching kingdom citizens, there's a new way to deal with bad people or mean people. You can react and defend yourself and fight for fairness, retaliate. Or you can respond with patience, generosity, and understanding. He calls us to turn the other cheek, a response that is well thought out instead of that quick reaction, retaliation, because a gentle answer turns away wrath. If you slap me and I slap you back, are we really done? Does that really settle it? You slap me and I slap you back. Now all I've done is make you madder than you were to start with, so you got to do something worse. But you slap me, or in the real sense that he was getting at, you insult me, and I respond with a gentle answer, your anger has no place to go. And so the conflict dies. He gives us another example as well. In the next example, he says in verse 40, if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. Now that didn't happen very often, but there were times when you owed somebody money, you hadn't paid that money back. If they took you to court, the court could say you have to pay them back. If you don't have money to pay them back, you can pay them back in clothing. You know, you find possessions that add up to the money you owe, and you can pay that back. So he's giving us an example. He says, if, for example, somebody sues you for your shirt, well, give him the shirt, also give him your jacket. The jacket was one thing that the court could not force you to give anybody, because in their day the jacket was not only protection during the day, it was probably the only blanket they had at night. So to lose the jacket would be to run the risk of exposure to the elements. You could be in trouble. You could get sick. Maybe even die in the cold nights. And so the court could not make you give your outer garment, your cloak, or the coat, couldn't make you give that to anybody. So Jesus is saying, you know, go beyond the requirement. As kingdom citizens, the world is going to require certain things, but you show that you can go beyond that. When the world says you have to give your shirt, okay, and I'll give my jacket as well. It says I'm not doing this because the world makes me do it. I'm doing something above and beyond the expectations of the world around me to demonstrate that I'm a part of a different kingdom. The third example that he gives is very familiar. In verse 41, whoever shall force you to go 1 mile, go with him too. In that day, the Romans could force any civilian to carry their pack 1 mile. Of course, the Roman mile was a little bit different. It was, I mean, if you wanted to figure it out, it would be 1,000 paces, you know. So it turns out to be maybe a little less than our mile. But for sake of the story, it works just as well. The Romans could force any civilian to carry their pack 1 mile. And Jesus says, if somebody insults you that way, and it is an insult. Why? Because the Romans are the oppressors. They are oppressing the Jews. And if you carry their pack, you are now carrying the tools and weapons that they use to oppress your people. And so it was a horrible insult to have to do that. And Jesus says, I'm going to tell you, instead of reacting against an insult, you just respond with strength and generosity, and you do more than the world requires. So they say, carry it a mile. You carry it that mile, and then keep going another mile. Show them that you're a part of a different way of thinking. You're a part of a different kingdom. So you do what they require plus something extra to show them that you're responding instead of reacting. That it's not just get even and be fair. That you can move higher and greater. And then the last example he gives, verse 42. Give to him who asks of you. Do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. Now, this verse has been, I think, misapplied often, and that is to say that anybody who walks up on the street and says, give me $5, you have to give them $5 every time. Sometimes giving people cash right out front is not really going to help them. It actually enables them in a life that is not the life that they need to be living. We understand that. Well, Jesus is not saying every time somebody says, give me money, you have to give them money. Look at what he says very carefully in the context as well. Give to him who asks of you. When somebody gets to the point that they need and they come to you for help, then you can be willing, you can be able to help those around you, those who ask. And do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. You know, it's easy to loan things to people, loan money to people or things to people. It's easier to loan things to people when you're not that worried about getting it back. When you loan something and all you can think about is, you better give me that back because it's only fair. You owe me because it's fair. Well, then you get all worked up, you get all nervous, you get all stressed. What if, instead of fighting for fair, what if we said, since we are citizens of the kingdom, everything we have is really the king's? Imagine the freedom that that brings. The relief. If I'm a citizen of the kingdom, then what I have is the king's. I don't have to worry about fair and right and making sure that I get paid back every penny and every cent. I can hold on to my possessions lightly because I understand they're not really mine anyway. It's a different way of thinking that allows us to respond to those around us instead of reacting. So Jesus says, kingdom citizens, you have heard, fight for fairness, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. But I say to you, that's not what that meant anyway. I say to you, respond in generosity, in grace, in mercy. Respond in forgiveness. Respond in a way that shows that you're above and beyond the expectations of the world. You have heard, fight for your right. But I say to you, be right. Let's pray together. Father God, we are indeed grateful for your love for us. Lord, we pray that you would continue to do a work in us each day that we might become more and more like Christ. Scripture says that our Lord was beaten and tortured, insulted, injured, and yet as he was being led as a lamb to slaughter, that he didn't complain or fight back. Father, help us that we might be more like Christ, that we would respond in love, forgiveness, instead of reacting too quickly out of our view of fairness. This is hard. We're confessing to you this morning that this doesn't come naturally. Father, help us to be like the one who died for us and lives today. Make us more like Christ is our prayer in his powerful name.